Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, have you been watching American Horror Story on FX?
No.
That show is so freaking creepy. Do you like scary stuff?
I don't usually fall for it. Really scary?
Dude, this show is so bizarre.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you. Bizarre, it's like it's a haunted house.
Bizarre like Basketball Wives bizarre?
No, dude, no. It's the show, it's creepy, dude. I watched it, and I was like, I could take it, and I'm watching it late at night.
Yeah.
I couldn't take it, dude.
And then it's all of a sudden.
It's weird. It's creepy. There's like the, you know, it's got the formula for all things creepy, right? Got children.
Yeah.
Creepy, undead children.
Right.
Some sort of weird sadomasochist, like leather, like
gimp
costume.
Okay.
And it has the Columbus Blue Jackets, which are also fairly frightening so far to begin the season. They lost again tonight.
Oh and four.
To start the season. Well, to be fair, 0-3-1.
Right.
But a shootout loss versus the Avs is not exactly something to be proud of.
No.
But I'm serious about that show, dude. It's creepy. Well, I'll tell you what wasn't scary.
Hmm.
Sharks win on Saturday.
True.
Enjoyment.
Yes.
Yes.
Very much so.
Great debut by the Sharks at the Tank in front of the home crowd. There's, you know, there's been some major changes to the roster, obviously. But something's different. I mean, something feels different. I know it's one game,
yeah,
dude.
It's one game.
But couldn't you agree that something felt, for that one game, just there's something different about them right now?
Well, that's the first period was about as dominating of a period of hockey as I've seen the Sharks play in I don't know how long. I can't remember every single period they've played, but it was something to two on this shot sheet, and the Sharks just completely had the puck down
the whole time.
Down on the offensive zone the entire first period. It wasn't even close. At one point, it was one of those things where it looked like the Sharks were actually toying with them. Like, they pass it across the crease like two or three times without shooting. And unless you're up by three or four goals, you don't do that. You just try to put the puck in the net right there.
Dominating possessions by not just the top line, which I'm in love with Joe Pavelski on the top line.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the best wingman that's been with those two, with Marleau and Thornton. I mean, Heatley who? I mean, I don't even remember that he was on the team at this point.
Yeah.
Well, why haven't they done this before?
I don't know.
I mean, it's really looking like just a brilliant move to put Pavelski up there, because that's just unfair.
Mm-hmm.
The way that they can keep possession and continuously cycle and have dangerous chances, and when one of them shoots and the rebound comes out, if the goalie doesn't play it cleanly, it seems like the Shark is always there.
That's right.
They're all over it. They know where each other's going. If they can keep this up, I mean, they're going to contend for one, if not the best top line going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've got something special cracking right now.
And the funny thing is, Thorne didn't even have a point.
No, but it didn't matter. And that's the thing with how the Sharks have evolved last year, is it doesn't all rest on Jumbo's shoulders.
Right.
And he's playing an all-around game, and he kept that up. I mean, he was back-checking furiously in the Saturday game against Phoenix, and he was in the mix, and that top line, dude, was just outstanding. And the third line looked very good as well.
It did, yeah.
Hanzus had a goal.
Yeah, sort of a weird one from behind the net. He sort of banked it off the goalie's leg. You take it.
They're able to keep possession of the puck. And that was very encouraging. Instead of, you know, so often with the Sharks' third line, you'd see them just dump it in, and, you know, the
right.
old Kevin Constantine dump a chase, and
yeah.
And then there's no possession, there's no offense happening, just sort of stalling and waiting for the other guys to recharge. And that's not the case right now. If they can keep that up. In the fourth line, Andrew Desjardins.
Two goals.
Welcome to a full season in the NHL.
Yeah.
This guy going from the CHL to the ECHL to the AHL, now to the NHL, with a shot to be a regular NHL player. Talking about overcoming the odds.
Yeah, it's amazing.
What a great story, and very cool to see him score on that breakaway.
Sort of the anti-Craig Reve.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Did you see that? I forwarded you that.
I had to get that shot in. Yeah.
Oh, man. Craig Reve, if people didn't hear, you know, former Sharks defenseman, traded to Buffalo, waived, picked up by Columbus, and now signed with a team in the East Coast Hockey League.
Yeah.
Which is like playing double-A baseball, basically.
Right.
And, you know, he's trying to spin it like, this is good competition, and I've just got to prove I've got something left in the tank. Dude.
Yeah.
That's don't you have enough money? Do you think you made some bad investments? Maybe you bought a Dairy Queen and it went belly up.
No. You know, I would think that you play hockey your whole life, and that's all you know how to do. And, like, dude, if you couldn't drive the ice cream truck tomorrow, what would you do? No. I'm just kidding. But, I mean, this is what he does. This is what he's best at. And so...
But hasn't he made enough money?
There's no question he's made enough money. I think he just thinks
that
he still wants to play. He still wants to try and prove himself. Well, why not?
I guess.
I mean, it's hard. I mean, we've seen the whole Brett Favre thing. I'm sure if there was an ECFL, Brett Favre would be playing in it.
I don't know, though. Brett Favre, that was so much more about...
Well, he's got a little bit more ego.
Vanity, yeah. You know, for him. I mean, Reve, to go all the way down to... You know, the third tier of hockey, basically,
yeah, right.
to play, you know, whether he got offers to play in Russia or not, I mean, who knows, but no team, he didn't even do a tryout with anybody.
I'm sure he could probably, I know that the ECHL team he picked was close to Buffalo, I think. It was in New York somewhere in the mm-hmm. East Coast, and a lot of those AHL teams are very close together, so it is a bus ride. You know, it's certainly not first-class living the way it would be in the NHL, but I think he would probably have a better chance of staying around his family than if he did the KHL thing, right? We saw what happened with Nabby. He, like, got over there, and he's like, yeah, maybe not. Maybe I'll come on back here. So, you know, maybe Reve understands that, and he says, you know, listen, I'm not, you know, I don't know exactly his family situation. I think he's married. I think he has kids. I'm not sure about that. He might be married to Matt D'Agostini, but...
what? What was that?
I'm just using D'Agostini as a placeholder for things I don't know.
You're trying to throw in... Is that what we're going to do when we don't know something? We just say D'Agostini?
Pretty much.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing.
Excellent.
That's
speaking of blue liners, dude, mm-hmm. What did you think of the debut of Mr. Brent Burns, who you couldn't even buy a Brent Burns t-shirt in the Sharks store? There were like three left, and they were all extra smalls, which I don't know, you know, who was coming in there and buying an extra small, but it's not this plump gentleman.
He looked nice. He looked good.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. That was...
It's fun times watching him like just jump up in the play with reckless abandon.
Yeah, that's how that first goal happened. I mean, Burns got an assist by jumping into the play appropriately and chipping the puck. And then, you know, Marlowe slides it to Pavs and mm-hmm. there you go. And that's stuff. The Sharks didn't have a second player who could do that mm-hmm. with just Boyle out there alone. Now you've got a threat almost every time you have a D pairing out there, because Demers is a threat as well, and he maybe will learn a little bit more from Burns and Boyle when is the right time to jump in. He seemed to get caught on some bad... He was a bad idea bear sometimes for the last couple of years.
Yeah, exactly. So
you gotta like that. Colin White, dude, thoughts?
Looks good.
Sure. Didn't notice him much, which for Colin White is probably a good thing.
That's probably... The kind of game he plays a low-risk game, a good defensive game. There's nothing to complain about with Colin White. I can't think of a single thing he did where I said, wow, that was sort of wrong-headed. There was some stuff you always notice, things like that. But, I mean, they just completely dominated Phoenix in that entire game. I guess the only thing to complain about, I don't know if we would go so far as to say the shine came off the rose a little bit in that game, but the Sharks did give up 3 power play goals. Well after the game was in hand. I mean, the Sharks were up 6-1 at one point, or something close to that.
Yeah.
But, they gave up 3 power play goals on 6 chances, and the Sharks scored 3 power play goals on 7 chances. So, clearly their special teams were going well in the power play department, but not so good in the penalty killing department. Dude, is this more the same? Is this... I know Tom McClellan seemed to play it down a little bit in the post-game comments, but... You know, it was a little bit frustrating to see them just sort of score again and again on the power play, even though the game result wasn't in doubt.
Yeah, I was I guess of anything, that's the discouraging thing from Saturday. I was not happy about that. I thought the kill looked actually decent in moments, and then you know I would blame Grice for one of them. You know, I really thought that he should have had one of those. You know, that was a bad non-save by him. And, you know, giving up shots, they were coming from the top. You know, they're coming from the point, right? I mean, did all three of those goals come from up top? I'm looking to see who scored. I mean, Shane Doan had two. And then the other, Ekman Larson, right, had the first one, I think.
I think that's right.
So they've got to clean that up. I mean, to look that dominant, even strength on the power play, and then to give up three power play goals to probably a team that's going to have a bottom third power play in the NHL, that's not going to fly when you're going to play that kind of dangerous game against Chicago, Detroit, Vancouver. You're going to lose those games. So hopefully they can figure it out, but they got away with it against Phoenix. And even strength, Phoenix was no match for the Sharks.
That's
true. And even though it's one game, I don't think that's a fluke. You know, I think Phoenix is, we saw what Phoenix is, and it's not very good.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, they were not able to play the Dave Tippett shutdown style of hockey against the high-flying puck possession team of the Sharks. They just couldn't do it. They just couldn't get away with it. And it was really pleasant to watch, because you've seen that frustrating game get played, and you see the grind happen, where you know Phoenix just completely takes away the middle of the ice. They grind in the corners, they chip it out, they regroup, they don't give up any odd man rushes, and Desjardins had a breakaway goal, which is cool.
Worst player for Phoenix,
Derek Morris.
There's no doubt about that, right?
Yeah, Derek Morris did not look good.
No, yeah. Two really bad penalties. He was the one who sort of half-heartedly went down to block the pass on Marlowe's first pass on the first goal. He just kind of went down one knee, just sort of kind of baby blocked it, couldn't do it.
When Reggie Pavelski was scored.
You look at their... Dude, I mean, Phoenix is not a playoff team this year. No. Roosevelt, Acoin, Morris, Klesla. That's not good. Would you, of those four guys, would you want any of them over who we have in our top six?
No.
No.
I mean, Ekman Larson's going to be good.
Yeah.
He's not great yet. And Keith Yandle is one of the best in the NHL, or was last year. We'll see if he can keep up that scoring pace. But, you know, he looks like a real, I think he probably played in, you know, his numbers might be slightly inflated last year. I wouldn't expect him to score, you know, 50 points or 60 points or whatever he had last year. But, I mean, the guy's a legitimate top two defenseman. Ekman Larson can get there. But, I mean, it looks like missing Jovokop is a real problem for them. It looks like that's really going to hurt.
And that's sad. I mean, that's pretty pathetic.
Jovokop's not bad.
He's not bad, but he shouldn't be playing.
He's past his
prime. He shouldn't be playing top 2 minutes for anybody.
No.
Which he is in Florida.
Yeah.
Dude, besides, we named Yandle and Ekman Larson, of course, we would want one of those. Up there forwards, not Shane Doan. Is there anybody you'd want?
I like Shane Doan.
But you can't have Shane Doan besides Shane Doan. Is there anybody you'd want?
Well, the Sharks can get Kyle Chipchura if they want. He got waived today.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
That soon?
Yep.
One game, he was so good. One game. He was even strength, dude. He had two shots. That's not fair.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, the closest for me would be Damon Lanko. I like Damon Lanko, but... You know, he's probably 36 or 37. He's
not Boyd Gordon.
He certainly doesn't have a spot on the Sharks roster. Jeez. So I mean they're in a tough spot. I mean, as we mentioned, I think last week, is they're old and not very good. Not a good combo. Not a good combination.
No.
So we're drawing that out, dude, because there's no other games to talk about. So
We talked a little bit about Thomas Grice. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought he was fine. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't asked to do anything spectacular. He was good. Good enough. Mm-hmm. We know the next game is Friday. There's still no official word as of the recording of this podcast Wednesday night on Niemi or Havlat. What's your gut feeling going into this weekend with Anaheim on the road and the Blues at home about the status of these two players?
Well, I've been reading, you know, Pollock's blog, as I'm sure most of our listeners have as well, and it appears from the things that he said, if you try to read between the lines a little bit, it sounds like Havlat might be closer than Niemi is at this point. I think I might go so far as to say Havlat might debut at home on Saturday night. My gut right now tells me that we're going to see Greiss the next two games. I don't think we're going to see Niemi in the next two games. So that's just my feeling. You know, clearly they're playing their cards close to the vest. They're not going to say who's going to be in when. But, you know, the Sharks continue to play like they did last Saturday against Anaheim, who is 1-1, and St. Louis, who is 1-1. Neither of these teams are the cream of the West. I don't know if you need to rush either of those guys back. If Friday and Saturday were versus Chicago and Detroit, then maybe you might try to put those guys into service. But at this point, be prudent. Get healthy. You know, Havlat's had a series of shoulder injuries. Let's not rush him back. This guy hopefully is going to be, you know, a nice offensive kick to the second line. Let's get him when we need him and not before.
See, I think he might be the one who gets babied even more than Niemi.
Because of that injury history?
Yeah, I think Havlat is the one that he could be out maybe longer. I'm hopeful that he's back on Saturday. I mean, if I'm guessing, I would say neither of them will make the trip to Anaheim, you know. And that it's possible Niemi might play Saturday at home against the Blues. I mean, maybe that's a possibility, you know, but there's certainly no strong, you know, tip from the coaching staff on what's going to happen. But, you know, this goes back to, you know, what some people have been saying about the schedule, complaining about the Sharks' schedule. They've played one game. A lot of other teams have played their second, their third games. You know, Pittsburgh, I think, by the time our second game rolls around, will already have been on their fifth game.
Mm-hmm.
Are you upset about the schedule, or do you think this sort of conveniently worked into the Sharks' favor?
I think it conveniently worked in the Sharks' favor because we got two sort of, you know, we got the starting goaltender and a top six forward who are not in service at the moment. So, right. If anything, it might be a weird quirk of the schedule, but at least right now it appears to be in the Sharks' benefit.
Absolutely. So, I mean, if they had three games this in the last, you know, week, then they would have had to try and do battle without two very important players. And it just so happened to work in their favor. And I think the schedule also works in their favor from the fact that they're catching a Ducks team that's just returned from Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've had a couple days to be back in Los Angeles and kind of get their bearings. But, you know, we've seen how that can screw up a team. You know, it kind of goofed up the Sharks last year.
Ducks should have lost that game. They won, too. I watched it. They should have lost that game.
I watched the game that they played, the opening game against Buffalo, and they were awful. They were so bad. They're not good.
Yeah.
They're not good, dude. And I'm laughing like I'm subscribing to the Ducks blog feeder, like, of their team, and they're picking like the Ducks to finish fifth and the Sharks fourth, like in the Pacific. They're not even close to being in the same league. That's just a stupid article. I hope that they're not going to prove me wrong on Friday night,
right,
but
right.
Just watching them, they've got one good line and then a good player on a second line in Solani, and the rest is junk.
Right.
And their defense is mobile, and they can jump in the play and hurt you, but they're bad defensively. They're just not a good...
Yeah.
They left Hiller hanging out to dry. Hiller, by the way, doesn't even know sometimes what room he's in because he's still dizzy.
No way.
You know, oh, he looked dizzy to me.
Spinning around.
He kept spinning around. I saw Alfred Hitchcock behind him going, "You're in vertigo." Hang on. Dude, I think the Sharks could go to Anaheim and throttle them. You know, it's a good shot for them to start 4-0. I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
And they should take advantage of it. And the way we saw them play on Saturday, I mean, they didn't let up. I mean, mm-hmm. They didn't want to win 2-0, 3-0. I mean, they wanted to humiliate Phoenix, and I think they did.
Oh, yeah.
They did. It was nice, dude. Nice.
It was good. Well, dude, I know that in other news, you got yourselves a puck this past game.
Well, we did the mystery pucks.
We did mystery pucks.
Okay. Let's talk the listeners through what happens. We go and we see mystery puck table.
Yeah.
I've got some money. You've got some money. I was like, oh, mystery pucks. We should do it. We walk up at the table. There's always a long history of me getting a total garbage puck and Mike getting like a really great puck. And this is how this script always goes. And I'm thinking, no, it's opening night. It's going to go a little better for me tonight.
Yeah.
We get a puck. I open it up. I get Thomas Greiss. Mike opens his. Logan Couture. I got Logan Couture. So
I wish I knew where my luck came from, because I'm not lucky like this in anything else.
So like a total chump, I go back to the table. I give them another $20.
That's not a chump move.
Dude, it is.
That's double or nothing, baby.
Okay. Yeah, but we're trying to decide who the worst one would be.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if we decided Grice was the worst.
It's Harry Sateri.
Yeah, maybe Harry Sateri.
That'd be worse.
I think we decided Fraser McLaren was the worst.
Because he's probably
not. Or Ben Ferriero. I have a Ben Ferriero. Proud
you have,
of it.
You have Ben Ferriero already.
Anyways, my second was Auntie Niemi, so.
That's good.
But yeah, it was good, but I still was kind of slightly disappointed. I don't know why.
Well,
I guess I was like, oh.
Well, there's probably five or six guys at least that are higher profile.
I have a great collection of mediocre pucks. You know, I've got a Jamal Mayers. I've got a Semenov.
I have two Marcel Gotchas.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's solid. Yeah. That's solid. But we did get the mystery puck night fully saved by one of our listeners, Nikki.
Mm-hmm. She totally hooked you up.
She did.
So she responded to one of our tweets about our mystery puck results, and she said, I got a boil. It's my second one.
Okay, well, she has a boil puck. She doesn't have a literal boil, like a boil growing on her, because that's kind of what you made it sound like.
Oh, yeah.
She has a boil, and it's her second one.
A funny double entendre that was.
We met her. She's quite lovely. There's no boils.
No, none. None that I could spot. So, in either...
I just have a visual now of, like, the listeners, like it's like young Frankenstein, like Igor, like standing out by the concessions. I have your puck for you.
Anyway, so, but she was nice enough to trade...
Yes.
Her second boil puck...
Yes.
To us for a Dudes on Hockey t-shirt.
So. Oh, I was so happy.
So you now have...
I now have a boil puck to go in the damn boil shrine.
The shrine. It
exists
whole
in my
shrine.
Den.
Right.
There is a shrine. I'm not afraid to admit it.
I'd be afraid to admit that.
Why?
If I were you.
Why? If you, I'm surprised you don't have one.
I just...
All I see right here in the studio is an open book of sheet music to an Andrew Lloyd Webber song. Explain yourself.
No, that's... I'm... There's boil pictures over there. I'm
off topic. Off the topic.
I'm changing the subject. There are boil pictures over there.
Dude, explain yourself. Why are you playing songs from Andrew Lloyd Webber?
Dude, this is a hockey podcast. Are we done now?
No.
Dude, are we done?
We're done when I say I'm done. I will tell more stories about you.
Oh, dude. All right.
What else we got?
Not a whole lot, frankly.
Yeah.
I mean, we got other NHL random news. There's a little bit of stuff with Jeremy Roenick, but I'm having difficulty.
Well, with the Blues coming into town, you do have Jonathan Chychrun subplot, which is...
Oh, yeah.
Chychrun is not playing for the Blues, but he's playing for Peoria.
Right.
Which is their affiliate.
Right.
So we are pleased to introduce our new sound effect, a song about Jonathan Chychrun.
Train, train, Chychrun, train. The Rivermen are gonna win this game. Chychrun. Oh, yeah, Chychrun. Yeah, yeah.
That's from an actual YouTube video.
Yeah,
by
we
the
found
way.
It on Puck Daddy. Yeah. Oh, my. Did you play it again?
Okay.
Train, train, Chychrun, train. The Rivermen are gonna win this game. Chychrun. Oh, yeah, Chychrun. Yeah, yeah.
Amazingly enough, the guy actually shows his face in the video. So he's identifiable. But I guess he has a history of these videos.
He's made several. So we'll be bringing that one back, dude. You want to talk about Bob McKenzie's post about realignment? Maybe we'll close it out that way.
Yeah, dude. Let's do that.
McKenzie posts on TSN and talked about on... I heard him talk about it on NHL Network on the radio. I can't watch NHL Network anymore. Neither can you because of stupid AT&T Uverse not renewing with the NHL Network. Hopefully that'll get fixed soon. But it looks like due to this proposal, if the option goes through, that Vancouver would now move to the Pacific Division. And Dallas would move to the
Midwest.
The Midwest,
I would think.
Not good news for the Sharks currently. You know, maybe down the road when both the teams are a little bit older, it's not going to matter, you know, as we're kind of, you know, going through a restructuring probably soon for both teams in the next couple of years. But seems like Vancouver has more premium younger players than we do, you know, in terms of young prospects and stuff. But
and then who would move out of the West?
No one would move out of the West. The West would stay the same. Dallas would move. And then the Western Conference, that they said it's sort of a decision.
So
Winnipeg would move into the Northwest.
So that means the West would have more teams in the East.
No, because Detroit or Columbus or Nashville would move to the Southeast. So putting Detroit in the Southeast just seems so stupid.
Right.
But
to me, that seems like...
It's Nashville's spot, right? You've got to move the Preds. Like,
I think you move the Preds, because if you move Detroit to the Southeast, that's basically just like a gimme division winner for like that. Well, I mean, Washington's pretty good.
I think the point that McKenzie's making, and a lot of people are saying, is that Detroit has sort of been operating under this long understanding that they've been good soldiers and that they want to be on the East. They've been asking to be in the East for a long time, and that now this is the opportunity for the NHL to get that, to make that good.
Mm-hmm.
So will they find a way to move them to the East? I hope not. Just for a pure hockey standpoint, breaking up the Blackhawks and Red Wings rivalry and breaking up our Red Wings rivalry, I think is going to be, that's not going to be good for the NHL.
No, I don't like it. That sucks. I mean, Detroit's a good team, and it'd probably be to the Sharks' benefit for them not to play so often. I mean, four times a year we play Detroit, so probably help us a little bit. But if we had to play Vancouver a bunch more times, that probably wouldn't help us either.
That sounds awful.
That would just suck.
It'd be fun to watch, but...
It's like the new Pacific Division is Detroit, the Sharks, Vancouver, LA, and Chicago.
Woohoo!
All right, sweet.
Whoopee!
Yeah.
Yay.
So I guess that's probably going to happen. I think Mike Ilitch is one of the more powerful owners in the NHL. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he gets what he wants. It probably wouldn't be the first time.
No, you know, putting them in the Southeast doesn't make sense.
But them moving to the East, I guess I can understand it, especially if there's some sort of backroom deal.
Right, and if there's no guarantee that in the next 5-10 years that Nashville is even going to still be there, you know, right?
Can you imagine how easy that stupid Winnipeg, Edmonton, Calgary, Colorado, and Minnesota? I mean, that's like the easiest division in the history of divisions.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's not very strong.
Like you win 40 games, you're in first place.
That's not very strong.
86 points wins the division. All right, dude. So we have at least a few more games to look forward to here.
Right.
In the next few days.
We've got three games before we probably will return.
Yes. Three more games, and then we'll begin an East Coast swing against Stanley Cup champions. So, dude, I'm hoping for three more wins in the next three games.
I'm expecting it. I'm expecting points in every game coming up here. I'll be disappointed if it doesn't happen. We should have at least 6 or 7 points. I can accept just getting 1 point in Anaheim if that happened. You know, that wouldn't be
right
devastating, but they should win both these games at home, definitely.
Agreed. All right, dude. Talk to you later.
See you later.
Train, train, choo-choo train. The Rivermen are gonna win this game. Choo-choo. Oh, yeah, choo-choo. Yeah, yeah.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.